Thank you so much. Thank you, Brother Gary. I know he's been pretty busy. He opened this morning also. And I was like, I asked him yesterday if he wanted to open for me. I didn't know who was preaching. And I don't know. I just, him and Brother Adam, I'm very close to them. I can joke with them and have a really good relationship with them. And I just feel them pretty close to me. So, and not just them, but, you know, all of you. And tonight, I'm happy to be here, to be able to, like he said, to bring the word of God to you guys. And it's a really good opportunity for me that I have, that I might comply with the responsibility that God has called me to do. And which is not an easy thing to do, but, you know, as we all know, he says that don't worry about when you speaking. After all, the Spirit will speak for you. And that comforts me a lot, knowing that, you know, what I said is not me, it's the word of God that I'm bringing to you. And I pray that this night, this words that I have to say, I pray that will be a blessing for you. And it's good to see you guys, and it's good to be here. And I just hope that all this thing that we are dealing with right now, I pray that they will go fast, and then everything will go back to normal. And, because it's been really hard for a lot of us, and even from outside. It's really weird driving around, and it's, everything looks so empty. People walking around with no joy in their faces, and those that are they pretend to be. I know there is something else behind them, and so it's kind of sad. It's kind of sad to see all those things, and that we have to wear masks. We are afraid to this virus, and Either we are afraid or we're just taking precaution. But really, I was just singing right there on the bench, and I can't even sing because I'm breathing that thing through my nose. And it's not just fun. It's not normal. It's not normal for us to act like that. And I just, sometimes it's overwhelming. And I'm pretty sure you guys do understand that. I have been so busy with work these days, and for that, I thank God for that. And even that I've been spending a lot of time outside, you can see, you can tell that I'm brown already, but I'm browner, like a brownie. You like brownies? I love brownies. Very thankful, and everything has been working out the right way. Can't complain about it. And everything has just been falling in place somehow. And I know that the God is looking up to us, that he hasn't, you know, ignored us or not care about us. You know, he's always aware of each of us. And that's something that brings comfort to me. And I'm pretty sure it brings comfort to you. And so that is why God has called us to do his word, to bring comfort to those who you see that are in trouble. And as you know, like Sister Trish mentioned it right now about this family, they're like co-workers of them. This guy who's having to be really nice is going through this really hard time. And not just him, but a few others that I know already, they have families, they have passed because this COVID-19. And so it's serious, it's up there, and it's happening, and it's increasing all the time. But let's not forget that this that we are just passing by this world. You know, what we're going through right now it's just temporary, and we should not be so concerned about it. I mean, our goal is to be with with God, is to be with Christ in the mansion that he talks about in his scriptures. And so that is our hope, and then our anchor. They will keep us, they will help us from being moved, even that that all these storms are surrounding us at this moment. So our hope is that it's not going to last. It's going to be over pretty soon. But inside of that, we have other goals. And so that is like not really something that we should be focusing and forget of the promises of God and what he told us in his scriptures. And something that I wanted to speak today, it is... it's something that you have heard over and over, and I have heard over and over. But just like this song that we just sing right now, is that told me the story about Jesus, and told it to me over and over and over that we might not forget. So what I have for you today that God has put in my heart is something that you not strange to it. It's something that you have heard over and over behind this pulpit. So what I'm going to say today, I hope that it's a blessing for you. And I know it will be a blessing for others. And this is like a more like a responsibility that we have as Christians, as ministers, to bring this good news to those who are outside and do not know much about Christ and the salvation and his promises that he brings to us. And the reason I come out with this is that one night, I can't remember, it was a week before, a week back, I believe that God talked to me in my dream, and he said that his gospel, that his plan of salvation is for us to go outside and scream to the whole world that is for everybody, not just for specific people. Everybody is welcome to his house. Everybody, because everyone is created in his own image. And I was thinking about that, but of course, I woke up with this joy, but I wish I remember exactly what the words that I heard in my dream, that I would have wrote it down. And I was thinking through that whole day there, and I told Rebecca what happened, and even my son-in-law. But I cannot remember, but I know that he wanted me to speak about his salvation and the plan of salvation that he had from the beginning, and the purpose that Christ Jesus was here and why he was sent. And so, but those things we all know, and it's some of the kids here that maybe haven't made that decision yet, including some of my family members. And I know that it's needed. It's needed for me to speak a little bit. It's so much to speak about it. It's so much. What I'm going to speak maybe tonight is just a it's just something that's going to be right above the surface. Because you go deeper, deeper, and deeper, and it just gets more interesting. What we have in our life is not much time, right? And so what I can name the of my speech tonight is that we should not wait until it's too late. Because God is speaking to you. God is speaking to you one way or another. And so it is, of course, we have the freedom of choice that we may either listen or not. Just like, you know, when he speak to, Samuel, he was a little boy, he speaks to him. He speaks to Brother Lehi when he warned him that he has to leave Jerusalem. He speaks to us in dreams and songs and through sermons. And so what we have to do is just listen. lesson. So I'm going to begin with what it says here about responsibility that we have these days. And I'm going to go on First Peter. I have my scriptures written down, despite some of them. I had to open my box. I had quite a few. Hopefully it won't happen what happened to Brother Stephen this morning, that he then was not able to read all his scriptures. But since I have them here in front of me, if you guys want to follow, you can open your box. And First Peter chapter 5, and we're going to read from 1 to 4. And it says, the elders, I practice that word, making sure that I not say the elders, that the elders, which are among you, I exhort, who I am also an elder and a witness of the suffering of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but for a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fade not away. And we all know that, you know, this is not a church where you're going to come and hear screaming. You're not going to hear loud music. You're not going to hear all those contentious words that you hear in many of the churches. Our responsibility is to speak to those and be a witness as these people in the Bible and all these people that were walking with Christ and living and eating with him, is for us to continue on with that responsibility, that we may be able to touch the hearts of those who are hungry for the truth and hungry for Christ. There's many up there who have very little understanding of those things. And so it's right here. It says, you know, feed the flock. Feed the flock of God. That's our responsibility that we have in front of us, that we may continue walking in the straight and narrow path. So they're not expecting a payment. And that's what I love about my church, that we don't expect any of that, because we do it for the love that we have in Christ, because he has said it's free. You know, his plan of everlasting life is free. His gospel is free. In 2 Peter 1, chapter 1, verse 16 to 21, it says, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we are eyewitnesses of thy majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there come such voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I well please. Listen to him. Learn from him. This is my Son. God told us, even from the beginning in the Old Testament, there is many witnesses of the scriptures that it speaks about Jesus Christ coming to this world. And the voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mountain. We have also a more sure word, a prophecy, wherein to you ye do well that you take heed as into a light that shineth in the dark place, and to that, into the day down, into the day stars arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is as of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but holy men of God speak as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And that is how it works in us today. Today, we have the gift. We have the gift of the Holy Ghost. And like I said in the beginning, this is what it moves us to continue on and bring this happy and joyful news. That, as you can see, many people walking around and so concerned, is really not that issue. That you should walk in those things and believe that this materialism is over and what we're going to do. Yes, we do need to work and work for our food, for our family. In the United States, we have rent. You don't pay rent, they kick you out. We have to do all those things. And it is a concern. But we have a greater God where we can lean into Him and turn to Him and ask Him for help. Because that's all He wants, is for us to humble ourselves and come to Him. Come to Him and trust in Him. Because He loves you and He's aware of your needs. So this is what it's talking about here. That without getting paid and all those things, you know, you have the heart to share those promises that we have to those people that are out there right now. And so that is our responsibility. I take it pretty serious. I might not be so good at it, but I'm here in front of you, willing to speak to you of those things and what God has commanded me to do. And so we're going to read in Luke and Luke chapter 16, and it talks about a little bit about Lazarus and the rich. And I think that's one of my favorite scriptures that I think I read it a lot of them. Because it's a really good example, and there's a lot of people that are up there that are, they might have everything and they have no concern about suffering, but you know what? There's something bigger up there that's coming besides what we have in front of our eyes. And this story here about Lazarus and the rich man is like so clear. I mean, it's either like you either go here or you go there, you know, as it says in Mark 16:16. If you believe in me, you'll be saved. But if you don't believe in me, you are condemned. It's clear as water, like Brother Hubert used to say. So we're going to read here in chapter 16, verse 19 to 31. I have a little bit of reading here, so stay with me. There was a certain rich man, which was clothed with purple and fine linen, and fair sumptuously, I can't even say that word, every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid in his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died, and it was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and it was buried. And in hell he lifted his eyes, being in torment, and seeing Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am torment in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime received thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comfort and thou art in torment. That tells me that if Abraham was able to see that this guy was enjoying his luxury, dressing the most expensive clothing, he knew he was knowing about Lazarus being a beggar. That means that God can see you, can see me, it can see how you treat other people, you acting towards the people that are in need. And also, as ministers, we have this open door that we may warn these people of this, what is to come. Like it says right here, he was in hell, I've been working outside as a, you know, doing my jobs, and it's so hot. It is so hot. And I always carry water with me, of course. But one day, I don't want to lift up anybody, but I was in doing a yard here in the neighborhood, and one of my sisters brought me a bottle of water. And man, that water tastes so good. As I was sweating, I popped that thing and I just juggled the whole thing. And it was so good. I can't imagine being in a place where it's going to be forever and ever, for eternity, suffering that pain over and over. Being in a, who knows how that's going to be. But if, what it says right here, apparently he was burning in life. You don't want to be there. So our job is to tell these people, hey, this is what's coming. If you don't change the way you're living, if you don't accept Christ in your heart, this is what's going to happen to you. I continue on in 24, and he's saying, he cried, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip his tip in finger water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham say, remember that in your lifetime, receive the good things, and likewise Lazarus the evil things. But now he is comfort, and thou art in torment. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed. So that they which will pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us. That will come from thence. Then he say, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wilt send him to my father's house. For I have four brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come to this place of torment. It is too late for him to repent, right? He's trying to repent, but he's trying to help his family. It's a true place up there. It's not some story that you should take it serious or not. It is up there. There's two ways, and you have the freedom of choice to either believe or either not believe, ignore what the Bible says, in the Book of Mormon, it is up to you. I'm telling you, I'm telling everybody. Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went into them from the dead, they will repent. What happened? Christ came, died, and at the third day, he was right. Did they believe him? Did they believe every time he said the Son of Man will be put to death, but on the third day, he will arise? Did, even until now, we're still fighting, trying to witness this and trying to make people understand that Christ is alive right now. This is still going. And that's why everyone say, and he said to him, if they hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be pursued that one rose from the dead. So this is the things that we have today in front of us, to speak of those things that are true. But how are they going to be safe? And how they'll be able to walk into the kingdom of God? How are they going to happen? So it's our duty to tell them, to show them, to point them. That is one of the things that Christ told his disciples before he was taken to heaven. You have a task, and that task is still going, even into now. In Luke chapter 17, verse 20-31, and when he was demanded of the Pharisees, when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, The kingdom of God came not with observation. Neither shall they say, Lord here, Lord there. For behold, the kingdom of God is between you. And he's saying to the disciples, the days will come when you shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you shall not see it. And they shall say to you, see here or see there, go not there, them, nor follow them. For as the lightning out at the one part under heaven, shining into the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. But first must suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall be also the days of the Son of Man. The dead eat, the drink, the marry, the wives, they were given into marriage, into the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them. That is today, brothers and sisters. We're dealing with these things right now. Because all these things that the world offered them, they don't want to listen. And they do exactly what it says right here, just like in the days of Noah. People are ignoring all the signs that they are happening right now. There's so many signs up there that we have seen, including the one we see right now, perhaps. There's so many signs up there that we should be concerned. The time is getting closer. We didn't know exactly what happened in those days, but we all know that when those doors were closed in the ark, it was too late for them. It was too late for them to repent. And to us, I heard that Christ is like the ark. It's like the ark. He is waiting. He hasn't come yet. Because the few that love him is still giving a chance to those to hear about him, to hear about his kingdom. He said, you know, you're looking for the kingdom of God. He's here. He's in the midst of you. And he is here right now as a spirit. We continue on. And Isaiah chapter 55, verse 1-7. Oh, everyone that is thirsty, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. If you remember when Christ was going through Samaria, he ran into this woman by the well. The Bible says, as he was tired, but you know, Christ was God. It's God. He cannot be tired. It was a purpose for him to go through that town and to run into this lady. And it's really interesting story because it goes, you know, lady comes, he asks her, give me some water. And then, of course, you know the story. But the thing that I find interesting is that he said, hey, the water that you have, you can drink it as many times as you want, but you're going to be thirsty again. But the water I'm offering you, it's going to be like overflowing rivers of your heart. The love, the peace, the joy that we have in Christ, to me, that's what it is. That's what it is. That joy, the fact that we know Christ and we are in his hands, there's no worries. We don't need anything else. All we need is Jesus. You can see a lot of signs around the world that says you need Jesus. This world needs Jesus. And we do. We are so lost. This world is getting so dark, just like it says. They prefer the darkness than the light. How has that happened? Maybe the darkness offered them better things than Christ. But we all know that's not how it is. We just read what happens in there. and what are you going to deal with? Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which is satisfies not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that thou knew not thee shall run into thee, because the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek the Lord. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his ways, and the righteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. No matter what you have done, and if you feel unworthy because you have done these things that you feel dirty, the most dirty person, he has so much love and mercy to forgive you. Sometimes we are so quick to judge people the way they look outside, but really, that's what it matters. What it matters is what's inside the person. Inside the person, no matter what you look like outside. He's not looking outside. He's looking what's inside of you. This body's going to stay here. Just like Brother Huber says, this is like an old house. It's going to stay here. It's not going to go enter into the kingdom of God. It's your soul. You should think about it. Your soul is worth more than you think. God knows, in my last sermon, I preached that your soul is more valuable than anything else. Because, as you know, he cares even for the few sparrows. How much he will care for you. We understand that. You are so valuable to him. God hears you. And right here it says, incline your ear. Incline and listen. Hear what God is telling you, what's talking to you. Hear. God will hear when you call upon him. And he will soften your heart. Just humble yourself. We need to humble ourselves to him. In John 8, chapter 8, 47, it says, he that is good, he that is God, hears God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. If we not in Christ, we are not in him, and he will not hear us. You know, it says, don't quench the spirit. Don't quench the spirit. Always turn to him in prayers, and that's how we keep this conversation, this fellowship with God. He will always hear you. In Mark 4:24, it says, and he saying to them, take heed, pay attention, take heed what ye hear. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you the hear shall more be given. In John 10:27, says, my sheep hears my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. We are his chosen people. We are his sheep. We are his flock. He hears us, each of us. Don't give up and don't listen to those down things and for our sicknesses, whatever you're going through, and those voices that you hear. I have quite a few friends that are having a hard time with this, and I've been able to witness them, the Christ, the God loved them, and Christ died for you. And I ask you guys, one of them is considering being baptized, and so I ask you to keep him in your prayer. I'm not going to say his name because he's watching, but I ask you that my friend is my coworker, and God has been talking to him. And he asked me the other day, I think God has want me to be baptized. And so we've been, the few minutes that we have available, we talk of God's word. And so, and I believe that God encouraged me to bring a little bit of this information. You might not need it because you are already in the path. We are in the path, but we still need to hear it that we may continue straight and remember those things that we may have a little better understanding and fear that once you know God, you can. You can't be wandering around. You can't. Otherwise, it will be worse for you. It says the scripture. It says, be worse for those. It's better for you to not know me than for you to know me. And if you know me, you're going to follow my steps. That's the way I see it. If you decide to go anywhere else, it's not going to be good. It's not going to be good. So what is the gift? How did my friend can receive that gift? What is that special gift? He's looking for that guider, for the one who Christ before he was taken up to heaven, leave us as a gift to guide us and direct us, which is the Holy Ghost. The gift of the Holy Ghost is like something privileged to have. Something did you desire? And it's only for people who have placed their faith in Christ. But you had to be baptized. And a lot of the churches don't believe these days. You had to be baptized only to accept him in your heart. And you and I know that's not what this is. That's not what the scripture said. You have to make a promise. You had to make a covenant with Christ. Otherwise, you'd be wandering around like the waves of the ocean. You're not going to be hot or cold. And what he says? So you have to be baptized and being confirmed as member of the church. And that is how you receive that special gift. We're going to read in Acts. Acts chapter 10. Chapter 10 from verse 34 to 48. And it says, this is Peter when he went to see this Roman soldier who was praying, who was willing to hear from God. And so here Peter's kind of told us a little bit how you can receive and how is this gift is for everybody. So don't feel unworthy that you might not be worthy to receive this or to be part of this family, because you can be part of this family. You just have to humble yourself and open your heart to God, because he is right there waiting for you. Then Peter opened his mouth and say up true and perceive that God is no respect of persons. But in every nation that they had feared him and work righteousness and accept with him the word which is God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. The word I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptisms which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with the power of who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of evil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all these things which there both in the land of Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on the tree. Him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witness, choosing before Abgar, even to us who dare eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. So there you go. Is Christ dead? No. He is alive. And he is trying to explain to him, to these people here, this is what happened. So what is our responsibility? He commands us to preach to people and to testify that is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believe in him shall receive the remissions of sins. While Peter just speak these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished as many as came with Peter, because that and they were Galileans also was pursued of the gift, they were pursuing the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. They answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then pray to him to tarry there a couple of certain days. So here we read that Peter witnessed to these Romans who he thought the gift of the Holy Ghost is not for them. This plan of salvation is not for them. It's just for the Jews. But he understands to the vision that we all know the gospel of Jesus Christ is for all those people who are hungry for it. And for all who wants to accept him in his heart, in their hearts, he is right there. It's the gift for everybody. Everybody can have this gift. But in Moroni, the Book of Mormon, chapter 10, 4 and 5, says, and when you shall receive these things, I will exhort you that you will ask God, the eternal Father, in the name of Christ, if these things are not true. And if you should ask with sincere heart, with real intent, having faith in Christ, and he will manifest the truth of unto you by the power of the Holy Ghost. And by the power of the Holy Ghost, you may know the truth of all things. How do you receive this power, this acknowledge of the Holy Ghost is when you are baptized, and that is how you receive this gift, and that is how you'll be having this understanding as we walk in this life. And this is what these people do not know. And this is why God asked me to speak of this. And like I said, this is just a little bit. It's more. There's more up there. But once people decide to walk with the Lord, he will guide them by the power of the Holy Ghost. And then 2 Nephi, chapter 14. Verse 1 and 6, it says, and now behold, beloved brethren, I suppose that you ponder and somewhat in your hearts concerning that which you should do after that you have entered in by the way. But behold, why did you ponder these things in your hearts? Do you not remember that I say unto you that after you have received the Holy Ghost, you could speak with the tongue of angels? And now, how could you speak with the tongues of angels, save it were by the Holy Ghost? Angels speak by the power of the Holy Ghost. Wherefore, they speak the words of Christ. Wherefore, I say unto you, feast upon the word of Christ. For behold, the words of Christ will tell you all things that you should do. Wherefore, now, after I have spoken these words, if you cannot understand them, it will be because you ask not, neither do you know wherefore ye are not brought into the light, but must perish in the darkness. For behold, again, I say unto you, that if you enter And by the way, and receive the Holy Ghost, it will show unto you all things what you should do. Once you have walked in into the waters of baptism, you'll be as an angel speaking, leaving all those bad words, all those things that you used to do and speak behind. You are new creation, because it says that when you come to Christ, you are new creation. And all those things stays behind, including when you are going down in the water, you leave the old man there. Don't even turn back, because you have better things ahead of you, better things in front of you. You have God, you have Jesus with you. You have a family in Christ. And that's how it is. In Matthew 11, 28, where he says, that's one of my favorite scriptures. It says, come unto me, you all ye that are labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest into your souls. You shall find rest. We are walking around with heavy loadings right now, because this world is full of evil. And as like I said, there's so many things going on up there that you should be aware and be concerned about those things. But we have one way. And that way is Christ. You know, he will show us the things that we should do and not do. I don't know if it was Thomas who said, you know, show us the way. And he told him, I am the way. I've been with you guys all this time. Have you not learned? I am the way to salvation. He told Martha when Lazarus was dead, if you believe in those things, your brother will arise. What did she say? I know that he will arise, but not, you know, in the resurrection. Christ told her, no, even if you are dead, if you believe in me, you will live. You will live. We are all dead in sin. We are walking in this world as dead in sin. We're not free. We're not free. We are chained down to sin. And that's what the Book of Mormon says. You know, you are chained. And only Christ can break those chains. Only Christ. I wish I can have like a lot of time and to read and to have all that knowledge that I may. I mean, these guys that I speak to, they're like, nobody told me these things when I was growing up. Oh, don't let that opportunity go away. When you have it, just drop it. You know, just tell them everything you know. And Helaman, Book of Helaman, chapter 5:51-53, says, but behold, your days of probation are past. You have procrastinated the day of your salvation into its everlasting. Too late, and your destruction is made sure. Don't wait for that. Don't procrastinate. Don't tomorrow, next week, next year. No. He's calling you right now. He's calling you right now. This is the day. This is the day that Christ is calling you to be saved, to be his follower, to be his disciple. Ye have sought all the days of your lives for that which you could not obtain, and you have sought for happiness in doing iniquity, which thinks is contrary to the natural of the righteousness which is in our great and eternal head. O ye people of the land, that you will hear, here it is again, hear my words, and I pray that the anger of the Lord be turned away from you, and that you will not, and that you would repent and be saved. That is one of the wishes that we have. That's one of the things that we need to bring to our friends, to our families, who ignorantly doing things without knowing that they're doing evil. You know, just like Pastor Paul, you know, he was doing those things that he thought that it was God things, but until Christ appeared to him and said, "Hey, you're killing my people. You're killing my people, and that's not what you're here for. But I have a special task for you, as we have a task these days, and we have to bring these witnesses above and tell everybody who's up there." In John 14, verse 15 and 18, it says, "If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it see him not, neither know him. But you know him, for he dwell with you, and it shall be in you. And I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." If you remember, you know, the disciples were asking him, you know, why did you speak to these people in parables? They don't understand what you're saying. And what did he answer? Because it's the gift is not for me to give to them. It's for you guys. The gift of understanding, the gift of the Holy Ghost. Then you're going to help them to understand these parables. And sometimes it's hard for me even to understand these parables, is it? But to us, who are willing to read your scriptures, is the gift of understanding of these parables, of his word, of his message. To us, it's a gift. And like I said in the beginning, we have work to do with these millenniums. I heard that word somewhere, and they are millenniums. This generation, this younger generation. You know, Christ told Peter in John 21, verse 15, 17, "If you love me, feed my flock." And I'm going to read it here. "So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than this?' He said to him, 'Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee.' He said to him, 'Feed my lambs.' He said to him again the second time, 'Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?' He said to him, 'Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee.' He said to him, 'Feed my sheep.' He said to him the third time, 'Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?' Peter was grieved, because he said unto him the third time, 'Lovest thou me?'" Do we love Christ? Do we love him? "And he said to him, 'Lord, thou knowest all things.'" He knows every single thing that we are thinking right now. He knows if we are loving him, if we are doing his will. We are doing his will. We are his true disciples, right? That's what he says. I hope that we are. Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." That is our responsibility here, right now, this time. And if right now is. I haven't invited my friend here to church, but he told me that he was a little concerned about how he's gonna be looked at, how we're gonna look at him. I said, "Hey, don't worry, I'm the only Mexican there. It's okay, you'll be welcome." So he's like, "Hey, as long as I'm with you and sit with you, I'll be okay." So I ask you guys to pray for him. But we need to feed God's sheep, all his creation, especially the ones we were created in his own image. I have one more page and I'm almost done. Oh, two pages. I'm just going to read it real quick here. And Matthew 28:16-20 says, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into the mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and speaking to them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. That's what it brought me to this church. Not when you just go into some bucket and you just sprinkle water in your head. I come to the understanding that baptizing, you have to be baptized, and actually means submerged. You have to be able to be submerged, and it has to be something that you desire to do for the remissions of sin. And there's no other way around. Where did Christ tell Nicodemus? You have to be born again. And right here it says, you have to, it's given us a task. It's given them a task in those days to baptize, to make more disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and then the Holy Ghost. How beautiful is that? You can't ignore that. You can't just take upon his name and you think that you are safe. You have to, just like when you get married, you have to sign a paper. You have to lock the promise that it says, I'm going to be your disciple. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to leave all this that I know and that I enjoy right now and decide. I am not going to. And believe me, you're going to find more joy in Christ with your new family. Just think about it. You'll be not alone. You'll be having others that you can count on when you are in trouble. We are here to support each other. Even, I take the opportunity right now, even you haven't seen me here, I'm here. I'm with you guys. I love you all. And nothing makes me more happy than being your brother in Christ. And that is true, and that's coming from my heart. This little small church, we might be a small in number, but I truly believe that we have the true gospel. We have the fullness of the gospel. In John 6:29, and this is the Father's will which hath sent me, the all of which he hath given me, I shall lose nothing, but shall raise it up again in the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which see the Son and believe in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up in the last day. And Revelations 3:20 says, behold, I stand out the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him, and I will sup out with him, and he with me. He's waiting for us. He's waiting for you. Open your heart to him, that he may live in you. Because that's where he lives. He lives in our hearts. And for my last scripture, it says, in Acts 17:30, in the times of the ignorance, God winked at, but now command the all men everywhere to repent. You know, maybe in those days, which he still kind of overpassed you. But now it's a command. It's a command that you, all men, repent. Repent of your sin. John says, repent. That was the message of John the Baptist. he baptized for repentance. But then what he said, you know, there's one in the midst of you that he will baptize you with fire. That was his task, to baptize with water. But Christ, he's given us the Holy Ghost. This was John Baptist. That was his purpose, to point people to Christ. That was his purpose. And that is our purpose today, to point people to Christ. I remember one time when we went with our brother Adam to Golden Valley, the first word that this our brother, forgot his name, asked him, "Hey, Adam, who is the head of the church?" And that word just came out of nowhere. And brother Adam answered him, "It's Christ." He was happy. He was a happy man. We need to point people to Christ, to prepare them. They believe in God's word and to teach them about how they can be saved, how can they receive the Holy Ghost. Because I tell you, if you get up there outside to the street and ask this question, they have no idea. I had no idea. So how are you going to enter to the kingdom of God? We have work to do. So I pray that that moment that you have, that opportunity, that you should do your work, the things that God has told you to do, that you may bring more souls to him, to his kingdom. That is my message for today. And I pray that I hope that I made a point, and I pray that this words were a blessing to you this night. So thank you so much. Thank you.